Oh, well, it is good to be here. I got here Thursday, and it just seems like the time flies, like I've only been here 4 days. And just boom, I mean, it comes and goes. I'm not used to preaching to this many people. It's kind of like Brother Steve said, you know, if you're visiting, come back next week, don't expect this kind of crowd. And that's kind of how it is back home. So I'm as shy as I am, and I am shy, and my knees are knocking. With this crowd here, what I'm going to ask, if Brother Steve would take the 25 to 55-year-olds and go back. I just feel so much more comfortable. I thank all those that did all the work for the conference. I thank Brother Steve and Mary for putting me up at their house and putting up with me at their house, and all the work that goes on these conferences. I know it's a lot of work. You guys enjoy it, right? Amen. Good. I'm glad you do, because that segues me into the fact that down in Baton Rouge, we're going to have a conference. It'll be a third one, Memorial Day weekend. It's the end of May, maybe not the last weekend in May. This will be our third one, and I would like all you folks to make the trip, make the journey down there, and come visit us and be a part of it. We're out a ways from it, so what that means is you can start saving up some of your money for airline tickets. Like if you live as far away as Wisconsin or North Carolina, you can buy your airline tickets and come down. If not, you can drive it. And, you know, Monday a lot of people have off, being Memorial Day, and so it'll give you a good opportunity to make the trip back home and all. But we are having our conference then, and I really would like all of you folks to come down and visit us. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, I don't know if I want to go down there with all you crazy Cajuns, you know. Well, you just discount the Cajuns all you want. I want to ask you something. You guys have CNN around here? No, I'm talking about Cajun News Network. I don't think it comes up here, but the other day they were talking about Boudreaux and Thibodeau from Ville Platte on CNN, Cajun News Network. Boudreaux and Thibodeau sitting out on the front porch, and Boudreaux tells Thibodeau, he said, "Hey, Thibodeau, why don't we build us a rocket ship and fly to the sun?" And Thibodeau said, "Hey, that sounds good. What are we going to make it out of?" He said, "Well, we got cypress trees all around here. We'll make it out of cypress." So he said, "That's a good idea. We'll do that. We'll make us a rocket ship and we'll fly up to the sun." So they get after it, cut down cypress trees, take the heart of the cypress wood, and build a 120-foot rocket ship in the backyard. Well, in the meantime, NASA gets word of this. Boudreaux and Thibodeau building a rocket ship going to the sun. So two astronauts from NASA hear about it, and they go, "Oh, it can't be. We got to go check this out." So they leave Florida, drive all the way down there to see Boudreaux and Thibodeau in the rocket ship. And so they guys drive up in that nice limousine, and Boudreaux and Thibodeau are like, "Who is this here coming to our house in that car?" And so they get out and walk up and say, "Hey, we're astronauts from NASA, and we heard you guys built a rocket ship planning to go to the sun." "Yeah, that's right. We sure did." "Well, where is this rocket ship?" "Well, it's in the backyard." "Well, can we see it?" "Well, sure enough, come on." So they took the astronauts back there, and sure enough, a rocket ship made out of cypress, 120 feet, sitting back there. And those astronauts said, "Man, that thing, we don't think that thing's going to launch and get to the sun. Besides, you get to the sun, it's going to burn up." And Boudreaux turned to Thibodeau and said, "Those crazy astronauts, they don't realize we're leaving at night." So you just discount the Cajuns, okay? Yeah. Well, I got an 8-hour drive back by myself. So I'm going to give you an NFL sermon, the not for long sermon. But anyhow, I've had a great time. I've enjoyed everything about this, and it does come and go, and it's bittersweet, and all I can say is, that poor Cadillac. Some of you thinking, what was the Cadillac after? You got to go back. Anyhow, if you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. You know, there are two problems preaching last here. Number one, the message you were going to preach when you got here Thursday, you forgot it. Number two, if you think of anything along the course of the way, it got preached on. So I'm what you call scraps, leftovers. So anyhow, John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And that's all we want there, because I think that is such a beautiful verse. I mean, you cannot pass the beauty of that verse up. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Praise God in the house of God. I wonder how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you believe on him? I mean, look at the passage. He that believeth on me, the works I do, you'll do also. Now, what I want to do is take you into what I call real time. In other words, here we are on this date, 2009, reading a book. But let's try something. Let's go. Let's just take the ministry of Christ starting at this X up to the cross. Let's go back in time as he says it. Pardon? You can't see it? Open your eyes. Back home, I put them to sleep quicker than that. If it wasn't for jokes, I couldn't preach. God for the comedian. Can you see? Room up here, too. I don't know. Maybe that's bold enough. Anyhow, that's the ministry of Christ. Let's go into real time. I believe I will go after 12. It's a quarter till. Take my time, okay. All right. In John 14, he that believeth on me. I want you to see that to believe on the Lord in this time, the ministry of Jesus Christ, is a lot different than the way it's getting preached today. A lot different than the way it's getting preached today. If you were to believe on the Lord, there are things that you must do to show your belief on the Lord. In other words, it wasn't sitting in a pew listening to a preacher and you go, oh, I believe on the Lord. We're talking real time. Those that believed on the Lord, they must do some things relative to that. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, look in verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Well, I see then to believe on him, there was something involved there. What is that? To forsake houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, land for my name's sake. I mean, in essence, that's exactly what God told Abraham in Genesis 12. Get thee from that country, that kindred. I'll show you a land you're going to inherit. That was the promise God had made to the Jews, that they would inherit the land. And Jesus Christ is the king of that kingdom and is trying to bring Israel into the land. In order to do that, you were to believe on him. And in believing on him, you were to forsake all. Now today we got people forsaking things like, oh, well, this guy left his wife and kids, or the wife left the husband, the kids ran away. I don't think that's quite the context here. Matter of fact, in Matthew 19, look in verse 16. You're in Matthew 19, look in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Give it all up. Oh yeah, you're keeping the commandments? You want to be perfect? You want this everlasting life? Give it up and follow me. Forsake it all and follow me. So when he said, believe on me, it was more than just sitting down going, well, I believe in the existence of Jesus Christ. These people in real time forsook it all. They saw what they had and they followed the Lord. They gave it up and followed him. Matter of fact, Peter has a question about this. Look down in verse 27. Look over in verse 27, Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have what? Forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he says, what I read earlier, and every one that hath forsaken houses, brethren, on, shall inherit everlasting life. They had to give it all up. In other words, when you go into the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're seeing more than just believing on Jesus. The doctrine there goes much deeper. Those that believed him in the time that he lived in the flesh on this earth had to give it all up and follow him. That's not all. This is what he had to address them with also. Look over in Matthew. Look in chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, look in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 19, lay not up yourselves treasures upon the earth. Do you believe on him? You go around and most people today believe on Jesus and get taught out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But do they lay up treasure for themselves? Absolutely. Have they forsaken all? Nah. So just how much are you following Jesus? How much do you believe on Jesus? The fact of the matter is, at this point, at this time, you cannot today follow Jesus Christ. And if you could, you wouldn't. You wouldn't do it. You'd be a hypocrite. We've had accounts, testimonies of people who have admitted up here of being hypocrites. I wouldn't do that, but they did. I let them get up here and make the show of themselves. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, I tell you. No, we're all hypocrites. You wouldn't live up to that standard at all. Couldn't do it. You want to see one of the most misused verses and misapplicated verses in the world today? Turn to John. Look in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3. Oh, and by the way, hold that. I got to make this point. Hold John 3. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. There's a punchline here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. To reemphasize the fact that you wouldn't keep these things relative to following the Lord or believing on Him. Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Let me ask you, you following that? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat. I mean, come on, folks, we've been at this conference. I feel like for the last 4 days I've been on a cruise ship. Take no thought for what you should eat. I came here as a Christian. I'm going to leave as cargo. I'm going to drive home and have to exit the 18-wheeler way station. And they're going to go, oh no, come on through. You've been at a conference. Yeah, we take thought on what we're going to eat. You come down to Baton Rouge, our conference. Take no thought what you're going to eat. Because we eat it all. He said, take no thought. That's pretty tough when you've left everything, don't you think? We have forsaken all, Peter said. Well, during that time, the Lord provided for them, fed them, took care of them. That was believing on Jesus. Now, the most misused verse in the world today, John chapter 3. Look in John chapter 3. You probably already know it. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, if you don't believe that verse isn't the most misused, you don't watch professional football. I mean, every time a team scores and kicks the extra point, you got the guy behind the goalpost in the stand holding up the sign, John 3:16. You've seen them. I mean, it's everywhere. Bumper stickers, preached on all the time. God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave His only begotten Son. Do you realize that verse there, when He said He gave His only begotten Son, has absolutely nothing to do with the cross? It has nothing to do with the cross. And most preachers today believe it does. I mean, here you are in John 3:16. How in the world is Nicodemus going to draw a conclusion that Jesus Christ is going to the cross at that point? And so the statement said, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. You know what He gave His only begotten Son for? To fulfill prophecy. Look back in Isaiah. Turn back to Isaiah. And you get back to Isaiah, go to chapter 9, and you may not recognize the chapter or the verse in your head. but when we read it, you'll probably recognize some of the words. In Isaiah chapter 9, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We'll see about that. In Isaiah chapter 9, look in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with just judgment and with justice from henceforth, forever, ever and ever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, who you reckon that is written about? Jesus Christ. Let's go back and read verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what?
Given.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In other words, God brought the Son into this world and gave the people His Son. It isn't referring to the cross. It's the fact that you could hear ye Him. This is my Son. And by hearing Him, you could believe on Him. But believing on Him is selling out all that you had and going out with Him with absolutely nothing there, counting on God the Father to provide for you. Take no thought for your food, what you shall eat or drink. You go out there. God gave His only begotten Son. God gave Him as a gift to Israel. Here's my gift to you. It's my Son. I'm giving you. Listen to Him. Obey Him. Believe on Him. Now, there's a problem that exists. Look in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto Him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and He healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the Son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. And we'll just hold up right there. I'm interested in a verse in all of this, one verse and part of that one verse, and found in verse 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. Now watch this. How shall then his kingdom stand? Did you realize the devil has a kingdom? Do you realize when Jesus Christ came into this world, He didn't destroy the kingdom of the devil? He didn't destroy it. He didn't break it down. That thing's in full operation right now. And I can tell you what, Obama ain't gonna fix it. Neither did Bush, Clinton, Bush, Reagan, and right down the line. Your government is not gonna fix it. It's not going to fix it. The devil is called, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world. And buddy, he's running it. It's part of his kingdom. You know, I hear people all the time say, well, we being Christians are not of this world. We're in it, but not of it. Oh, you're of it. I mean, just think about it. Think about it. Those of you who drive, you got a driver's license? You got an account banking account. You got electricity coming into your house, water coming into you. You're hooked up to this world. The only thing that separates you out from it is Christ and you who gave you the hope of glory. We look forward to getting out of this world. But right now, there's a kingdom working here. Matter of fact, look at some of the references referred to him. Look over in look in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There he is. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you realize that when we were born into this world, our destiny was wrath? It was wrath. We walked according to the course of this world. We walked in according to the God of this world, little g. The God of this world. The devil's running this show. He's running the government, the financial market, the military. He's running everything in this world, and the worst thing to us as Christians that he's running and operating is the religious system. It's a religious system. That's why Paul says, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look in verse 4. We're going to jump right in here, time's sake. He says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Beginning of that verse again, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. You reckon there could be multiple Jesuses being preached today? The God of this world, he's got different Jesuses being preached today. He's got the one that existed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and got the world convinced. John 3:16 has to do with the gospel. And so, they take the doctrine out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and like the brother said, giving his testimony, once he got into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was totally confused. Yeah, you're confused. That's what he's the author of, confusion. He wants the world to be confused. He doesn't want you to know that you can know that you're going to heaven. How many times have you gone up to someone and said, hey, you're going to heaven? And they say, well, I hope so. You know who teaches that? The devil teaches that. He wants people to think they may be able to get there. That's what I was under the impression as I grew up. Maybe if I die on a good day, I'll get there. Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, whatever a good day is, you know, you think maybe you're in good standings with God at the time of your death. Problem is, you don't know when your time of death is coming. And number two, you're not in good standing with him at any time. Jesus Christ is in good standing with him, though. You understand? That comes into play big time. I'm fixing to take you there. You ready? I want you to help me out here. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. I'm sorry, I just get all bubbly. In Galatians 1. Here we go. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Gave himself for our sins. Galatians 1:3, Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Look in chapter 2 of Galatians. Turn to chapter 2 of Galatians. In chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and what? Gave himself for me. You're doing good, warming up. 1 Timothy, look in 1 Timothy. Hang all right. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who what? Gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Look in Titus, keep hanging right. You go right, you can't go wrong. Chapter 2. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who what? Gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people and zealous of good works. First thing I noticed when I got saved, there's some peculiar people here. I mean, they talk about going to heaven and knowing it. I'd kind of like that. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Hang a left, because it's right. Ephesians chapter 5. Change the word a little bit, but it'll apply. It works. Verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath what? Given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You're in chapter 5? Conveniently, go down to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. What is the it? It's a church. So we move out here past the cross, and we got this time frame of the church, the body of Christ. You know what those verses said? That Jesus Christ gave himself for the church, the body of Christ. Not God gave his only, Christ gave himself. I want you to think about that just a minute. I dare you to self-examine yourself. I think the funniest thing about religion is confession of sin. Why? Because I did it. I was raised in a religion. I won't tell you what it is because I don't think you should run down religion. But it's centered in Rome. You go into a booth, it's dark, and there's a man on the other side, and I'm supposed to tell him the bad things I've been doing. I started that as a kid. Well, I learned as a kid, you don't tell strangers just everything you've been doing. You tell your friends, but you don't tell a stranger. Hey, come down, walk down the aisle and confess your sins. Is there anybody in here that would come down right now and confess everything you've done in your life, who you did it with, where you did it, and the thoughts of your mind? Anybody? Then isn't it ridiculous? People talking about you got to confess your sins. You're not going to open up before God. That's how filthy we are. That's how vile we are. Honest? We're the most dishonest bunch there is. You see, why we grace churches are so small is because when you go into Paul's writings, you find that God has nothing good to say about you. Who wants to come to church and hear that God ain't got nothing good to say about you. I mean, I was hoping Jerry'd be here this Sunday because if I was going to feel good, I was going to sit up here and let him wash my feet. And he goes off and leaves. For those of you that weren't here, that was part of his message, so you don't know. But understanding your Bible, you will be able to hear the message. Nothing but promotion here. What I want you to understand, folks, is that we are rotten to the core. Rotten to the core. Because I want you to understand that the love of Jesus Christ for us was that He went to the cross and gave Himself for us. He looked down and saw none good. There's none righteous. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Then does that tell me you can't do any righteousness? If there's none righteous and you can't do any good, apparently you can't do any righteousness. Then why do we say all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? We're worse than that. You understand? We're worse than that. But the good news is the Jesus that Paul preached is the one that gave Himself for you. And you put your trust in Him, and by putting your trust in Him, He became your ransom and bought you out of this kingdom that's existing today. You can't escape the kingdom on your own. And the religious system that the God of this world has set up is set up to make you think you can get out of it, and you can't. The only way you can is by the power of the cross. That is God's power to save anybody that would trust in Jesus Christ. If you want to get out of here, you can only do it through the Lord. That's it. You can only do it through the Lord. He was a ransom. You know what a ransom is? It's a payment. The Bible says that we were servants unto sin. There was an ownership over us. Servant, a slave. We were bought by sin, into sin, and serve sin. And you ain't getting out from under it unless you trust in the Lord. Because that was our payment. He was the ransom. And you know what the price was besides His life? It was His blood. The sinless blood of Jesus Christ shed for all of us. Let me tell you something, folks. The God of this world, He's active. And He gives all the preachers and teachers of the gospel fits. A number of years back, we started the video. Went on television. Of course, Louisiana, we have parishes, not counties, but same difference. And Cox Cable is the cable station source that we went through. And we're on in about five parishes, Baton Rouge and then some surrounding parishes. And so we're sitting up there. None of us knew anything about videoing and the engineering involved in it. And it's very frustrating. Good luck, Brian. The video in there, we were recording. Everything went just fine. We had the tapes. We'd bring them to the studio and they'd run our tapes. We're on it Sunday at 1 o'clock. And so people were watching. Some of our people, if they had to work that night, but were up and they saw us or they recorded the program, they said, "Mark, when you come on, everything's fine on the previous programs leading up to you, but when you come on and start preaching, you can't hardly hear you. It's like the volume is about gone. I got to turn my TV all the way up." So, Garden Chambers is he's the one spearheading this thing, and so he and I are getting into it. We're checking connections. We're checking equipment. We're buying equipment. And the tapes are all good. What is wrong with these tapes? So he meets with the manager of the studio. And he's like, look, these things are good coming from us. I don't know what's going on here. So the guy said, well, let's go back there and check it. So there's a place where they could run the videotape without it being broadcast and check it. So they're playing and he goes, this thing's just fine. And Gordon said, well, when you played it before, there wasn't any audio. I mean, the audio was real low and couldn't hardly hear. And Gordon and that guy looked at each other and said nothing. And the manager says, I'll fix it. So he put in our tape. And this leaves me. I can't hardly even explain it to you. It's a technical side, but there's a way where they could enter the time, the channel, and the specific program, program it in, and lock it in. And it would take like a password to unlock it. So he set all of the settings perfect and locked it in. We hadn't had a moment's problem since. Say, so what's the point? The point is that when our program came on, the boys running the board went to a charismatic church in our city and didn't like what was getting preached, so they tinkered with the volume. They turned it down. So we spent all that time, spent money to get this thing fixed. Frustration, angry. Brother Moore told me years ago, he said, Mark, there's speculation as to where the devil lives. I don't question it. I said, what do you mean? He says, I know where he lives. He lives in electronics. I found that out real quick. He lives in electronics. That's how he operates. But since we got this thing, the old boys can't fool with it anymore, you see. They didn't like the message that was going out. So consequently, show you how the Lord works in these things. Consequently, Cox bought out another cable provider in the southwest portion of the state. And so now we're broadcast in the southwest portion of the state at no extra charge. It's amazing, isn't it? So I've got a route and I've got help that works with me. And it's one of the girls, and they live in an apartment. It's her, another girl, and the other girl's mother that lives there. And so during the course of a week, I talked to my help. Her name's Terry, and she said, I want you to know, Mark, you had a big audience the other day. What are you talking about? She said, well, we had me, my friend's mother, and about three or four other girls that were in the apartment Sunday. We were going through the channels, 1 o'clock, and there you were. And I, hey, that's who I work for. He's a preacher. Well, leave it there. Let's watch it. So they watched the program. I said, well, that's good. Y'all need to tune in more often. So anyhow, it's hard to explain these things because there's so much involved. I have a newspaper route, hence I have a vehicle, a van to carry it. Well, it's at her house because she works for me. It's at her apartment. So I go there, and I'm in my van. It's pulled up to the sidewalk, typical parking spot, you know, sidewalk going. I have the hood up, and I'm checking the fluids, right? So I got the dipstick out, and I see someone coming off to my side. It's an older lady. I just make sure everything's all right, if you know what I mean. So I pull out, checking, and she says, I watch you on TV. Yeah? I said, well, that's good. She goes, oh, The girl that works for me, Terry, incidentally, her roommate is Terry. This is the other Terry's mother. I said, well, that's good. I had heard that y'all had watched me. She goes, oh, I watch you all the time. And she said, you know what? I want to tell you something. That grace thing you preach, being saved by grace, that is correct. You can't work or live a life that's going to be pleasing to God. The only way you can get saved is by trusting in Jesus. And it's by His grace that you're going to heaven. And I know I'm going to heaven. I'm like, preach it, sister. I mean, she's going to town. And then about 3 or 4 months later, the girl that works for me told me that that lady has cancer and she's terminal. Man, it's just, oh. The God of this world running His kingdom, and the Lord makes a sham of it. The Lord just, boom! Whenever you think it's going to be stopped, God's got a way. I mean, the devil thought he won the battle when Jesus Christ died on the cross, had a party, threw all the big shenanigans with all the angels that fell with the devil. They threw down a party when Jesus Christ died on the cross. But boy, there was a silence come over it 3 days later. God raised up His Son, then gave a message to the Apostle Paul that Jesus Christ gave Himself for you. He died for your sins. All of your sins. Just trust in Him. Just trust in Him. If you've never trusted in Him before, do it right now. Don't leave out of here. You're not guaranteed to have another heartbeat right now. Trust in the Lord and be saved. He loved you and, as we all said, gave Himself for you. Trust in Him. Thank you all. It's been great.